And that's where the work starts as a child of God. So the disciplined and undisciplined individual. So let's begin to look at some keys to successful Christian living. The first key, and we're back in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, the first key is that you have to have a successful mindset. You have to have a successful mindset. Look what he says here. Know ye not that they, in verse 24, know ye not that they who run in a race run all, but one person receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. There's a powerful word picture here. That word obtain comes from the Greek word katalambano. Kata, which means down, and lambano, which means to take or snatch. And so Paul says, run that you may do what? Snatch the prize down.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we begin a new series titled Personal Discipline, Keys to Successful Christian Living. So please open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, and join us for the introduction to Personal Discipline, Keys to Successful Christian Living.
But I'm going to ask that you would open in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Know you not that they who run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do up to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And this morning, I want to speak to you on the subject, personal discipline, the key to successful Christian living. Personal discipline is the key to successful Christian living. Discipline. As I looked at the word discipline, if you look at the root of the word, it is disciple. And so God, when he calls us to discipline, he's actually calling us to discipleship. In this ninth chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul gives us three images of discipline. He says that the Christian must be disciplined in their life. And he gives us the image first of an athlete. Secondly, he gives us the image of a runner. And the third image that he gives us is that of a boxer. He uses all three of these to say, look, if you want to see how to discipline yourself in the Christian life, I'm giving you three examples on how to do this. A book that has had an impact on my life. And I think I bought it back when the One Missions Conference, when they used to sell the books at the Missions Conference. And the title of the book is The Disciplined Life. It's by Richard S. Taylor. Powerful little book. Powerful little book. And I've visited this book often when I start to wane in my discipline. And there's a couple things in here that he talks about. The first thing, he says that it takes discipline to live the Christian life, that you just can't live the Christian life haphazardly, that you have to discipline yourself. He makes this comment in here. He said it takes discipline. Now, I really want you to hear this because this is a short statement, but it yet is so profound. It takes discipline to learn a new art or science or skill. It takes no discipline to watch a ball game or a wrestling match. So a lot of us tonight at 8:30 will not be exercising any discipline, right? I like what he says. He said it takes discipline to learn a new art, science, or skill, but it takes no discipline to watch a ball game or a wrestling match. And so we find that oftentimes we do things that are not conducive to disciplining our spirit. When I got this book, I said, man, this is just what I needed. Like, it must have been, you know, 10, 15 years ago. I said, this little book is just what I need. And so I looked at the book, and I began to look through the table of contents. And as I looked through the table of contents, you know, I saw a chapter in here, and it talked about how to become a disciplined person. And I said, well, you know, all these other chapters, they look pretty good. I said, but that one interests me the most. And so I went right to that chapter. It's on page 81. And I went right to page 81 because I said, man, I'm going to go right to the heart of the matter and learn how to be a disciplined individual. So I opened it up to 81, how to become a disciplined person. And he says this, begin by reading the entire book through. Including the introduction. If you have not done so, some of you will spot the title of this chapter while scanning the contents, and recognizing that becoming a disciplined person is the goal, will suppose that to read this chapter only will be sufficient. Such an attempt may be symptomatic of your need for discipline. So needless to say, I went back and started reading the beginning of the book. But as we think about this idea of discipline, I began to meditate. What is the picture of discipline? And the picture of discipline is Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. The picture of discipline. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at what he did. He endured the cross. He told Peter, he said, Peter, when Peter cut off that guy's ear when they came to take Jesus, he said, I could call 50 legions of angels and come and wipe all these guys out. But what did he do? He endured the cross. He disciplined himself. They ridiculed him. They mocked him. They spat on him. They did all kinds of things to torture him. He despised the shame, yet he was the Son of God. Yet at any time, he could have came down off that cross, wiped them all out, condemned them all to an everlasting hell. But he stayed up on the cross, not only to die for our sins, but he stayed up there. He disciplined himself. Yeah, he was God. Yeah, he was the second person of the Trinity, but he had to discipline himself in the flesh. You remember in the garden, he said, Father, I pray that you would remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He had to discipline himself. He had to go to the cross. He had to exercise discipline. What is our picture of discipline? Our picture of discipline is none other than Jesus Christ, who endured the cross, who despised the shame. And if we can't discipline ourselves to live in such a way to please and glorify God, we diminish the work of Christ on the cross. Yeah, we're still saved, but Christ not only died so that we might have eternal life, he died that we might have an abundant, disciplined life. And so in this life, we have to exercise discipline. Remember, most of the word discipline is made up of the word disciple. If we're going to be a disciple of Christ, we have to be disciplined. What are some areas of discipline? Well, let me give you four areas of discipline. First of all, there is the mind, that you have to discipline yourself in your mind. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:13 that you need to gird up the loins of your mind. He said, you know, in the Bible days, people used to have these long flowing garments. And whenever it came time for them to have to move expeditiously, they would have to tie up the garment. They would have to tie it up so that it wasn't flapping in the wind and slowing them down. And Peter says that you got to tie up those loose ends in your mind. You just can't let your mind wander in every direction. You can't let your mind go in any direction it wants to go. You've got to pull in the reins of your mind. The mind, somebody said, is a terrible thing to waste. And we can let our mind take us places that we shouldn't go. I remember one time I was at the health club, and it was in the summertime, and I was talking to this other guy, and we were talking about how that we were on vacation, but we didn't go on vacation. And we said that, well, you know, we went downstairs. I said, well, you know, I go in the sauna, and that reminds me of the heat, and that makes me think that I'm in a nice warm place. I get in the whirlpool, and that makes me feel like I'm in a relaxing, massaging area. And then I get in the swimming pool, and I think that I'm in a distant resort. We went to a lot of places in our mind, right? Your mind can take you a lot of places. And that's why it's important that you discipline your mind. Just don't let it flap in the wind. Just don't let it think every thought. Sometimes our thoughts are crazy. Sometimes our thoughts are immoral. Sometimes our thoughts are wicked, and we need to crucify those thoughts. We need to submit them to the cross of Jesus Christ, and we need to gird up the loins of our mind. We need to discipline our mind. And you know, you can really, if you meditate on this for a second, you can control what you think. Even though a thought might come into your mind, it don't have to stay there. And the only reason it stays is because you put out the tablecloth and you lay a three-course meal with your fine silverware and you feed it. And when you do that, guess what? It's going to stay for a while. And so you have to discipline your mind. Also, we need to discipline the tongue. James says that the tongue is an unruly fire. And so, you know, one of the key things that we can look at as far as discipline in our life, that if we have a disciplined tongue, that generally means that we can, let me back up. That's usually a good indication that we can discipline other areas of our life. Because when you think about your tongue, as James said, it's one of the most unruly members of your body. And so if we work hard at disciplining that, then we can exercise discipline in other areas. You've got to discipline your body. Paul said, and we're going to talk about this here in a second, he says that I bring my body under subjection. He said, I tell my body what to do. My body doesn't tell me what to do. And this is something that many saints struggle with. And I have to raise my hand here because a lot of times, you know, the flesh, as the scripture says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we have to begin to discipline our body and talk to our body. And then a fourth area is that we need to discipline our emotions. You just can't let your emotions take control of you. That's when you start running into all type of problems. We are going to have emotions. Say, for instance, anger. You know, if we get angry, we can't let our anger overcome us. We can't let it overtake us, because in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28, it says that an angry person is like a city without walls, that you are open to all type of things. And so you have to learn how to even discipline your emotions and not let them take control of your life. Now, to be honest with you, I could go on and on and on about areas of your life that need to be disciplined. But just look at this. I think that, this is me, this is Pastor Glaze. I think that if you could discipline yourself in these four areas, I think that everything else would come under control. I think that this is the bulk of where our issues are at. And if we will just learn how to maintain discipline in these areas right here, I believe we would pretty much live a successful Christian life. I began to meditate on, and I've used this before in some other situations, disciplined people. Disciplined people versus undisciplined people. Undisciplined people are emotion-based. Disciplined people are character-based. Your character drives you. An undisciplined person, their emotions drive them. Think about it. You know, they just, whatever's on their mind, whatever they want to say, they just go off on people. Why? Because their emotions are driving them. But when you look at, you know, your character, how many people wish that they could have had something back that they said because they spoke it out of emotion? Where if they would have just had a strong, disciplined character and they let their character take control, they wouldn't have said what they said. Undisciplined people do what's easiest. Disciplined people do what's right. And I just noticed a typo up there. Left out the D. Charge it to the head, not to the heart. All right. Do what's easiest. Disciplined people do what's right. Undisciplined people, when it feels right, when it feels good, I'll do it. Disciplined people, whether it feels good or not, they realize that they have to do it. Undisciplined people, controlled by moods. I like this right here. Disciplined people are controlled by their priorities. They establish their priorities. They establish what's important in their life. They establish their goals. They establish the things that they want to do, and then they don't let their mood control them, but every day they do what they have destined in their heart to do. You know, there was a guy in my neighborhood, and you could tell that he was a little bit overweight. And I saw this guy two times a day. He would walk by my house. And he's been doing it for years now. But after about a year, this guy was slim and trim. I'm out there cutting my grass, 90 degrees. He's out there. I'm getting in my car, getting ready to go somewhere in the freezing winter. He's out there. Raining, he's out there. At nighttime, he's out there. See, here's an individual that is not controlled by the weather, not controlled by his moods, but he's controlled by his priorities. His priority became his health. And he didn't let anything stand in his way. He had a disciplined mind. A disciplined person has a selfish mindset. Undisciplined person has an unselfish mindset. A disciplined person has a mindset of a servant. You know, how can I serve others? The undisciplined person, their life and their lips disagree. Your walkie-walkie don't match your talkie-talkie. And if your walkie-walkie don't match your talkie-talkie, then you're not walkie-walkie like you talkie-talkie. All right? So they don't match. But the disciplined person, their life and their lips agree. Oh, here goes one right here. Undisciplined people look for excuses. Disciplined people look for solutions. Undisciplined people look for reasons they can't do it. This is why I can't do it. This is why I can't. You know, sometimes you talk to people before they even tried. You know, I got my trainer. Let me see if he's here this morning. Reggie, is he here? Or I can talk about him, right? No, I would say that it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But sometimes Reggie, you know, he'll tell me to do an exercise. And I look, and in my mind, I already said, man, I can't do that. But I said, you know what? I'm going to try it. I just go ahead and try it. Because I'm trying to get out of that mindset of the first thing you say, I can't do it. You know, I'm not crazy now, right? I'm not going to do anything, you know, anything ridiculous. But, you know, just to say that, you know, a lot of people don't even want to try. You already got your mind made up from the very beginning that you're not going to do it. You already made excuse and explained your way out of it. Undisciplined people, they are outwardly influenced. And I would say this, disciplined people are motivated, driven from within. Undisciplined people, during the tough times, they quit. Disciplined people, they continue during the tough times. And this is John Maxwell. He says this, undisciplined people are whiners. Disciplined people are winners. So I said, you know, what do you want to be? You want to be a whiner or a winner? I think I'd rather be a winner than a whiner. So as we think about that, you know, do you see yourself up there anywhere? Are there some character traits that are beginning to develop in your life that show that you might not necessarily have the discipline that you need to have? Like I said, the key to the successful Christian life is discipline. That if you don't discipline yourself, then you are not going to be victorious even as a Christian. We are saved by grace. We don't have to work to get saved. We don't have to do anything to get saved. But you know what? Once we do get saved, then that's when the work starts. That's when we need to begin to work. That's when we need to get a work mindset. I'm not working for my salvation. Christ paid for my salvation. He died on the cross so that I might be saved. I don't have to work for my salvation, but I have to work because I am saved. And that's where the work starts as a child of God. So the disciplined and undisciplined individual. So let's begin to look at some keys to successful Christian living. The first key, and we're back in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, the first key is that you have to have a successful mindset. You have to have a successful mindset. Look what he says here. Know ye not that they, in verse 24, know ye not that they who run in a race run all, but one person receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. There's a powerful word picture here. That word obtain comes from the Greek word katalambano. Kata, which means down, and lambano, which means to take or snatch. And so Paul says, run that you may do what? Snatch the prize down. That the prize is there. And we need to realize that the only way that you are not going to get the prize, and I need somebody to hear me this morning, because we got a lot of people who are willing to quit at the slightest bit of resistance. That you need to realize that the prize is there, and all you have to do is just stay in the race. If you stay in the race, when the race is over, you'll snatch it down. And as a matter of fact, if you really think about it, Jesus Christ said that he's already won the victory. So you don't even have to fight for the victory. You don't have to try to win the victory. Christ has already won the victory. There's only one thing that he requires of you, and that is stay in the race. Don't quit. Jesus said that no man, having put his shoulder to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. Once you become a kingdom child, it should be full speed ahead. Once you become a child of the king, you should discipline yourself. You should have the right mindset, the mindset that says, I'm a winner. There was a song back in the 70s when there was a lot of empowerment movements going on. And Curtis Mayfield came up with the song, and the words went something like this. We're a winner. And never let anybody say you can't make it because a feeble mind is in your way. No more tears do we cry. We have finally dried our eyes, and we're moving on up. Moving on up. My brothers and sisters, Curtis might not have read 1 Corinthians 9, but he definitely took a principle from the Apostle Paul, and that is, you are a winner. And you got to have the mindset of a winner, that a disciplined person says in their mind that I'm a winner. I heard the story about a man who ran a tattoo shop, and there was all kind of tattoos that were on the wall. And one of the tattoos said, born loser. And somebody went in the shop, and they began to look around and get a tattoo, and they saw that one. And they said, wow, that's a rather strange tattoo. He said, I can't believe, would somebody actually get that tattoo on their body? And the guy said, oh, yes, very, very much so. And he said, well, what kind of person would get a tattoo born loser? And the guy said, tattoo on mind before it's on body. You know? And that's where it's at. Tattoo on mind before it's on the body. If you tattoo yourself as a loser, if you look at yourself as a loser, then you're going to be a loser. Paul is saying here that you have to have the right mindset. Let's read that again. He says, know you not that they who run in a race run all, and one receives the prize. He said, in earthly races, in earthly competitions, there's only one person that receives the prize. But in God's race, everybody wins if you just stay in the race. So the first thing that you have to do, you have to have a successful mindset. Yeah, I was listening to James McDonald, a pastor, and man, he said something that really just blew me away. He said that he started taking stock of conversations.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time as we continue the introduction to Personal Discipline, Keys to Successful Christian Living. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Personal Discipline, Keys to Successful Christian Living, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Personal Discipline, Keys to Successful Christian Living. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Personal Discipline, Keys to Successful Christian Living. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Anchored in Jesus comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which reminds us that you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.